Let's give our great friend and prophet of the Lord, Bobby Connor, a great welcome this morning. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, Bill. God bless your heart. God bless you. Please be seated. Well, isn't Jesus something? I mean, really, think about it. He is the Son of God. He's in charge of all of this. Aren't you glad? I am telling you, it is amazing. One time I took the podium in a big old conference in a civic center and I screamed, "You know, there's no one like Jesus." When I said that, the Holy Spirit said, "Yes, and that's such a shame." Wow. See, it's the plan and the purpose of God to make us all just like Jesus. Now, who's Jesus just like? Colossians 1:15 says, "He is the express image of the invisible God." Now, you'll have to help me out. What does invisible mean? Can't see him. You can't see God till you see him in the form he chooses to present himself. And that's Emmanuel, God with us. And I'll tell you what, if you really want to see him clear and more distinctly, get into this book. John 1:14 said, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." Guys, you'll never be used of Jesus in the dimension he wants you to be used if you're shallow in the Word of God. It's the only book I know of on the planet that can legitimately promise you success if you'll memorize it. That's what it says, Joshua 1:8. "The words of this book shall not depart from your heart. You shall meditate upon them day and night, and it will guarantee overwhelming success." Isn't that good? I suspect it's the easiest book on the planet to memorize. Why would you say that? Because the guy that wrote it lives inside of you. All scripture is given by the pneumata, the breath of God. And so the breath of God, when you got born again, lives inside of you. Now, if the Holy Spirit is not inside of you, you're not in the kingdom. Bible said, "If the Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwell not in you, you are none of his." Does that sound like the Holy Spirit is optional? No, he's absolutely essential. Because, see, Jesus said, "It's the best thing in the world for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And he'll do what? Teach you, instruct you, guide you, empower you. Isn't that good? I suspect you and I are going to get a new appreciation for Holy Ghost. We can't do a single thing beneficial without him. Not a single thing. But through him, by him, in him, we can do anything. Romans 8:37 said, "Yet amid all these things," all the things the devil can hurl at us, "yet amid all those things we're super victorious." We're super victorious. I'll tell you what, I don't like to be around a lot of defeated feeling people. "Well, you know, brother, you don't know what I'm going through." The key is you're going through it. Not a single place do we find that God stops you in the middle of it without giving you his victory and his party. Did you read Psalms 23? "He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies." Right in the midst of the battle, God hollers time out and throws us a party. Isn't that cool? Do you believe that in Jesus you're unstoppable? I really mean that. In Jesus Christ, you're unstoppable. You cannot be stopped. I like that, don't you? We're fighting from victory, not for victory. Did you remember when Jesus was nailed to the tree? He cried out, "It's finished." Aren't you thankful he didn't say, "I'm finished"? He said, "It's finished." He used a word that's only used twice in the whole Bible. He used a word that means it's totally done. Nothing's left undone that should have been done. It's completely done. Use the term twice in the whole Bible. That's what he said upon the cross. Wow. Say this word with me. Complete. Wow. Aren't you glad there's not something else needs to be done to secure our salvation? Have you ever found a verse that is mind-boggling? Well, I found a whole bunch of them. Here's one. Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9 basically says, all that God is in Christ. All that God is in Christ. You say, "Well, boy, I know that." Well, it's Colossians 2:10. That was Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:10 is where we have a big hiccup. Colossians 2:10 says, all that Christ is in you. Wow. Identity. Say identity. You believe this whole thing is about figuring out who we are? Heaven and hell both are asking you the same question, who do you think you are? As a person thinks, that's how they're going to live. If you think yourself a worm, you'll feel like a worm. Do you believe your perception of yourself can even negate what God says about you? Remember when God told Israel, go take the promised land. It flows with milk and honey. So just like a lot of people I know, they got a committee together to see if God knew what he's talking about. Said, let's go send the spies and see what the land's like. Remember that? They got in the land. They found some grapes so big, so marvelous, so magnificent. They had to put a spear and put the stalk of grapes. And that's how big the grapes were. Two soldiers had to carry a cluster of grapes on a spear shaft. Isn't that something? Say big fruit. It was exactly precisely like God had said it was. It says, but when we got there, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But there was giants there. And when we looked at ourselves up against the giants, we perceived ourselves as tiny grasshoppers. And your Bible said, because they perceived themselves as tiny grasshoppers, that gave the enemy the right to perceive them as grasshoppers. And it set back the move of God 40 years. See, when God tells you something, you can believe it. He said, you're more than a conqueror. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you works. Wow, that's pretty neat, isn't it? Yes, sir. Yeah. Now, this book has a verse in there, well, a whole chapter out of a verse of Ephesians 2:10. Now, I'm a Southern Baptist pastor. Every Southern Baptist I know of can quote Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Very few I know quote Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we conduct ourselves in them. So I studied Ephesians 2:10 in every English translation of the Bible I could find in the whole world. Everyone, one of them says, you're the best God could do to display who he is. One translation says, you're his stroke of genius to display his God deeds. Wow, I like that, don't you? So when the devil goes, who do you think you are? I go, I'm the best God could do. That's what you are. Yeah, that's really true. You need to study that. I hope you'll get the books. I'm going to read to you. This is a Master's Plan Divine Design. I'm reading out of page 93. And I want to talk to you a little bit about an emerging kingdom company. God says, I'm going to bring an emerging kingdom company that will rule the visible realm from the invisible realm. However, they'll do it through the demeanor of love. And then here's some of the characteristics. Can I just read it for you? Oh, Lord, the Lord told me, said, I want you to do audiobooks. Audiobooks. So I thought, okay, I'll do audiobooks. So I got in touch with some, they call them ghost readers. You know, you can get ghost writers that'll write what you say. But this is the people that read your books for you. And so I thought I was doing that. I was negotiating with a ghost reader to read my books, to make audiobooks. And the Lord said, no, Bobby, I told you to do audiobooks. Oh, Lord. So I thought, how hard could that be? Good Lord. I got in a little recording studio. I got my book out and I turned the machine on. Here's what it was. It was a very blusterous day. It sounded like, run, Spot, run. You know, it was awful, awful. But I found out it's a lot easier to preach it than to read it. But I'm reading out of page 93 of the part about kingdom company. Business leaders. Another aspect of the kingdom company will be revealed in the business world. God's Spirit is currently in the process of visiting and radically impacting the business sector. Business leaders are turning to Christ in an unprecedented fashion. The Lord's favor is evidently upon these men and women. Moving in God's great grace, the anointing deposits upon their lives, they will help establish the kingdom of God. The Spirit of truth will release outstanding wisdom, and the resulting in that wisdom will be an increase in wealth. And then I put Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me once. He said, the strongest pastors in America right now are CEOs of companies. Strongest pastors in America right now are CEOs of companies. And then the undercover boss program came out. Did y'all remember that? Where bosses of the companies would go undercover and you'd see how broken their hearts would be over the travesties that was happening to their workers. So that was validation. So anyway, I hope you'll read that. It's Master's Plan Divine Design. Okay. Now don't lie to me about reading it because I'm prophetic. I'll know it. But you need to read it. You believe it? You need to find out you're not a biological burp. See, a lot of people don't know who they are. Now, what is biological study of life? What's a burp? Something that just slips out you think you have to be apologetic about. You're on this planet because God wanted you. You're not here by accident. You're not even in this room by your own plans. Psalms 139, verse 16, 17 says, all of your days are written in His book before you've ever lived a single one of them. So one day in eternity past, God wrote down, what is this, the 28th? He wrote down, August 28th, COP, Austin, Texas. And He put it in your book. That's why you're sitting in that chair today. That's what the Bible teaches. All of our days are written in His book before we've ever lived a single one of them. Now, the great search is to synchronize what He wrote and what we walk. Find out what He wrote for our lives to do and then surrender to His will and follow in His will. Say, I see it. Okay, now here we go. This is a shepherd's rod. Now, I want you to listen to this. For 21 years, this is my 21st year to write this one. This one is. This is for 2016. For 21 years, on the Day of Atonement, I have a visitation from Jesus Christ. He'll come tell me some of the things that's going to happen in the future, and I write in a book called The Shepherd's Rod. Now, I want you to listen to that. For 21 years, on the Day of Atonement, I have a visitation from who? Jesus Christ. He tells me some of the things that's going to happen, and I write it in the book. And this is the one for this year. Now, I'll just read, I'm just going to read a little bit out of here, not much. I'm on page 109. Well, I'll look across the page to 108 since you said this. Listen to this. Powerful, fresh, mighty winds of revival hit Germany. That's what it says. The Spirit of God has again begun to blow across Germany, preparing for a fresh, mighty wind to roar across Germany in a mighty way. An awesome awakening is at the door. These winds of revival will result in massive soul-winning meetings. Many of the recent immigrants will come flooding to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ the King. God has found a remnant of radical believers who are hungry for God and His holy presence. They will spearhead this awakening. Expect to see signs and wonders in a wonderful display drawing many to Christ. And I put John 6, 1 and 2. These great miracles will result in soul-winning crusades across Germany. Expect to see an army of radical evangelists arise from Germany to be thrust into different nations. These fires of God's glory could very well burn all across Europe. So that's pretty good. Now, then that brings me to the next paragraph. God shines bright light in Texas. The Spirit of God will shine a very bright light in Texas. It will be seen by many. I am expecting an awesome spiritual explosion in Texas. It will light up the entire landscape, giving much needed revelatory light, thus manifesting the true power lines and revealing the harvest that is now ripe. I feel this will commence in East Texas and fan out all over the state. Something big from God is on hand for Texas. See Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5. I had an experience where I saw a light shine across Texas in the dark time, and it was so bright you could see the power lines in the air and you could see the color of the leaves on the trees. Now, does that give you any insight? What season does the leaves turn colors? Fall! What doorway are we in? Fall. I am expecting this to really commence and be initiated at fall. I'm telling you, something's going to happen. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Then here's another word. Their fox is in the hen house. You want to hear this one? Okay. The fox is in the hen house. In a very strange encounter, I was shown the United Nations building and other landmarks, governmental buildings. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth said to me, look, the fox is in the hen house. I said, what does this mean? I was told the greatest danger is inside, not outside. I saw a dark cloud hanging from the ceiling. The Spirit of Truth said, that is the spirit of deception. The choices and decisions declared in this place, the UN, will be dark and dangerous. They will be from the soul of man, not the Spirit of God. They are not going to be good for God. All right. Fox is in the hen house. You believe it? I tell you what, see, fox is in the hen house, but the Spirit of God is in the church house. So we need to drive the fox out. Herod, the old fox, remember him? The old fox, Herod, is always against the prophetic that is strong, standing for God. Behead John the Baptist, remember that? Yeah, but God's going to drive the fox out. Do you believe it? Say yes. Well, anyway, okay, Cody, will you read these things? Carolyn, come give this to Cody behind you. Come on, anyway, go ahead and give him a big old hug while you're back there. Got some artwork all over him. It's enough ink. I could have written a book with that much ink. Good Lord. Where's this caca rumba? Listen, I'm a lot faster than look. I can put a rear naked choke on anybody in here. That's right. I've been watching cage fighting. I can give you a spinning back fist, knock you here to Tuesday. It's true. Yeah, that's right. Yes. One of my friends got into cage fighting. Good Lord. His brother is a good cage fighter. So my friend that was a preacher, he got into cage fighting. So he trained for months. Hey, so what? So his first round, ding, they're in the octagon. Ding. He'd been training for months. And so he hopped out there and the guy goes, wham, gives him a thigh kick right here. And he fell on the floor and he started screaming, my legs broke. Yeah, this is my friend. Fell in on the first round, first ding out of the thing. The guy hopped up, kicked him in the thigh, and he fell over screaming, my legs broke. The referee didn't say, hold it. He said, get up and fight. Your leg ain't broke. So he got up and he's hoppling around. The other guy kicks him in the other leg. So he lasted for two kicks, and then he quit. He quit cage fighting. I used to cage fight, and they didn't even pay you for it. That's the honest to God truth, man. We'd get hit one another the head so you could stand up the longest. I mean, that'll give you a dental bill. Hit one another in the head. That's our friends. Paul Key said, anybody hit me in the head ain't my friend. But we used to stand up and hit one another in the head so you could take the punch. That ain't very smart, is it? Ah, Lord. But you know, when you live in a little town of 202 people, you have to do something that's entertaining. Yeah, Murkison. Y'all ever been to Murkison? I'll be 73 this year. When I grew up, it had 202 people in it. It's up to 598. That thing's in a growth spurt, man. Yeah, Murkison, Texas. Wow. We had some deals there, boy. Good Lord. We used to put James Harden. Y'all didn't know James Harden, did you? He got in a fight and a guy bit his ear off, spit in the bar ditch. That's way before Tyson and Holyfield. Yeah. We was in a big fight out in this guy. Anyway, like, you don't understand all that. But anyway, James got his ear bit off by this guy. But anyway, but we used to put James Harden in the bread box. Y'all don't even know what a bread box is. Way back there, the little stores used to have metal bread boxes, and the baker guys would come put the bread in there, and then when the store owner got there, dumped the thing, put the bread in the store. So we would go steal the bread boxes and put them on Highway 31, put James Harden in the bread box. I'd get my 49 Ford with a 57 Oldsmobile engine in it. You could push a Marlboro cigarette package down the road. I cut all springs out of it because I haul liquor, I hauled beverages in the back. So anyway, and you'd push James Harden down the Highway 31 as fast as you could, and you'd lock the brake to see how far you could slide him. Sparks flying, you see, entertaining. Now listen, if he's dumb enough to get in the box, I'm dumb enough to slide him. It never dawned on us, you know, we could hit a little, you know, you could hit a bump. And, you know, it'd been curtains, but then that was the way we grew up in Murkison. I'll tell you another story you won't hardly believe. I rode a tricycle 82 miles an hour. Hey! You dragged somebody else in here who's rode a tricycle 82 miles an hour. I rode a tricycle down Murray Hill 82 miles an hour. Now, Ananias and Sapphira told us don't lie in church. You might ask, you know, Bobby, how'd you ride a tricycle down? Well, Chester, y'all didn't know Chester, did you? He's the guy who got his nose cut off in a knife fight. His nose fell in his pocket. Y'all remember that? I carried him to the doctor, cut his whole face off. It fell down here, flopped down like a pork belly. Blood going everywhere. I carried him a little one-horse doctor over there in Athens. And the doctor, well, I can't say what he said, but we're in church. He said something like, shucks, I can't sew this up. I said, I can't either. And they sewed Chester's face back on like you're sewing up a toe sack. The doctor didn't know how to do it. He just sewed Chester's face back up. It was pretty amazing. It healed in such a good way till even they carried him to plastic surgeons and let him look at this, because the guy sewed it like you're sewing a toe sack up. Isn't that crazy? Chester. Y'all didn't know Chester. He had a beard down along here, and we rode motorcycles. Yeah. Chester. Anyway. Bless his heart. He's still got a beard, but it's long and gray now. Oh, man, just gray. Looks like a... I don't know. But anyway. Now, I'll show you a picture of a redneck. You want to see it? Here's Chester. He bought him an automatic pea sheller. They make them. You go to Canton first Monday, you might find one. An automated pea sheller. You remember like the old Ringer washing machines? It's like that, only it's got little tits on it. And you stick the pea in here, and it spins through there and pushes the pea out of the pod. Now get the picture. Chester married a girl named Lorraine. You didn't know Lorraine. I went to date her sister once, Etheline. I went to pick up Etheline, pulled up in the yard, threw my 57 Chevrolet in park, and had music. I had headers that would break windows out. So I got out to go get Etheline. My wife knows this. And I went up on the porch to pick up Etheline. Her father came out with a 357 about this long and cocked it just like that. It goes click, 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 click. And he said, I think you're a little bit too old and a little bit too rough to be dating my daughter. What do you think? I said, I think you're a very wise man. So I didn't even date Etheline. But Chester dated Lorraine and married Lorraine. Now, here we is. This is modern day deal. And Chester is running his automatic pea sheller. He's putting the peas in there. Got this long gray beard now. Etheline is out on the Kubota mowing the yard with headphones on. Lorraine is out on the Kubota mowing the yard listening to George Strait. And Chester gets his beard caught in the pea sheller. He can't turn the off switch there. And he's pulling him into the pea sheller. He's screaming, ah! Can't you imagine? About to get your face eat up by a pea sheller. And your wife's out there jamming out to George Strait on a Kubota. Finally, he screams loud enough and long enough. Or Lorraine comes in. There's Chester pulled into the pea sheller. Guess what she says? Hold it! Let me get my phone. We got to film this. Now, I mean, if you look for redneck in the dictionary, that would be Chester's picture right there. Well, anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. Well, anyway, that's how I rode the tricycle. Chester and I used to buy junk cars at the junkyard, and you could get them running. And we do demolition derby. We drive through fences, run over trees, chase cows down, stuff like that. So anyway, we pull back in a cut-off Lincoln, a chopped-up Lincoln, and over there under the plum bush was Chester's sister's trike, a little tricycle. Y'all didn't know Diane, did you? Little red-headed weasel girl. Squill on us. Yes, she would. She'd squill on us, tell about everything. Tell off on me and Chester. So there was her little tricycle under some plum bushes, and I thought, you know, if I tied a rope to that and tied it to the Lincoln, Chester could drive me around the yard. Get the picture. We tied a lariat rope on the back of the Lincoln and put it around the yoke of the tricycle. This is me on the tricycle. We made a couple of laps around the yard, dust flying everywhere, and that's not enough. Now, if you're ever on Highway 31 between Athens, Texas, and Waco, and Brownsboro or Tyler, the biggest hill is called Murray Hill. Chester lived right at the top of that. I said, pull out on the road! I'm spitting like a... Pull out on the road! Huh? Get on the highway! So he pulled out on the highway. I'm leaning on this tricycle. And he gets me going. Now, you know, 30 on a tricycle is really moving. You can't get off. And he got it up to 82 miles an hour. Have you ever... You can't imagine how much racket I was making. That thing's squeaking its... And we got up to 82 miles an hour. Finally, you know. I don't know if there's another human being who's ever rode a tricycle 82 miles an hour. I have. Now, let me just say this. Exhilarating. People go to Six Flags to try to get a feeling I got tied to the back of a Lincoln. You want to be really exempt? Tie your kid on the back of a Lincoln, drag him down one of these roads. That's true. But anyway, Chester got saved. I got saved. Thank God for that. Chester used to take up the offering in the church, still had his big old beard, and looked like some kind of motorcycle maniac of some sort. But anyway, God used Chester. He's still living. I tell you what, he retired a few years ago, and his daughters went and got him a brand new Mustang, carried him, got him a tattoo. Did he have five daughters? How many? Good Lord. I think so. You know, we had two boys. I thought if he had girls, he'd be quiet. They came and spent the night one time. Good Lord. When they left, I told my wife, thank God we got boys. At least you can beat the crap out of them, put them in. These little girls squealed about everything. Didn't they? Well, anyway, they're grown, got kids now. But y'all didn't come to hear my delinquent stories. But here's what I figure. If God will use me, you might have a shot. What do you think? Yeah. It's okay. Swifting and shifting gears at 12:12. That's what the clock says. For those of you that got some dinner date. Here it is. Hosea 10:12. The question is, what time is it? Hosea 10:12 says, it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon us. Hosea 10:12. It is time to cultivate the uncultivated part of your life. Put every bit of yourself into the service of God. That's what that's talking about. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon us. The most asked question worldwide is, hey, what time is it? I'll tell you what time it is. It's 1 Chronicles 12:32. It's time for the sons of Issachar to arise. The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times. I'll tell you what time it is. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time and a season and a purpose for every activity of God under heaven. A time and a season and a purpose for every activity of God under heaven. And I want to tell you something. God has your times in his hands. You believe that? It says our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Isn't that amazing? It talks about how swiftly time passes by. But let's talk about time. Bible said we are to redeem the time. I'll give you a verse about time. You want it?
Yes, Bobby.
Turn with me and we'll go to Ephesians 5. Say Ephesians 5. And we're going to talk about time, how to make the best use of every moment. One translation says, die up, snatch up every opportunity God has for you. Ephesians 5, verse 14. I'll slow down now. I talk real fast. I used to buy television time. I'm cheap. So I figure if I talk fast, I get my money's worth. You see what I'm talking about? Do you see that? Okay, but Bill's paying for this. So I'll slow down. Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Verse 15, look carefully then how you live. Walk purposely, worthily, and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are very evil. Therefore, do not be vague, thoughtless, or foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Here it is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled, stimulated, empowered by the Spirit of God. I wanted to redeem the time, don't you? I want to make the best use of the moments we have to bring people into the kingdom of God. So, what time is it? 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 talks about it being a time when your good will be evilly spoken about and people will stand in pulpits teaching doctrines of demons. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Say yes. You want to look at it? You got time? Yeah, I got. Okay, let me find it. It's in the Bible. Yes, I'm looking. So, I tell you, people ask me, what translation you preach out of? I tell them all of them, and that's the honest to God truth. I study it in every English translation I can find. And then when I preach, I amalgamate them together, the ones that we're reading. So I'm heading to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and impressively declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to the deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Wow. They'll turn away from preaching the truth and start speaking what demons speak. You say, do you have any example? Yes. An example of this verse being fulfilled in your life is hyper grace. Hyper grace message. Hyper grace, if you study it to its ends, here's what hyper grace teaches. Even the devil will be saved. Are you lunatic? Yes, you are, if you believe that. The devil is not going to be saved. That sounds like a doctrine a demon would teach, doesn't it? Well, that's what hyper grace teaches. I want to tell you, the Bible, Jesus said, I didn't create hell for you, but I created hell for the devil and his angels. Wow. In the shepherd's rod, I didn't read it, but it's in there. I had a visitation, and the Lord, I saw a massive eagle sitting on a nest. I mean, massive eagle. Huge, majestic, sitting on a nest. Saw eagle's eggs in there. And the Lord said, watch this. The eagles are about to hatch. Sure enough, the eggs hatch, and I was stunned, startled, and disappointed. Instead of massive, majestic eagles, the eagles were smaller than my fist, full grown. Smaller than my fist, some no bigger than a dove. And I said, Lord, that's not what we need. We need majestic eagles that can soar. And he said, you don't know what you need. He said, look at the talons on these little eagles. The little talons on the feet of these tiny eagles, white eagles. I wrote it all in the shepherd's rod, 2016. Most precise looking talons you've ever seen. And the Lord said, I said, Lord, what is the function of these little white eagles? Why have you hatched them out in these last days? And then he began to say, tell me the names of the devil. There's Diabolos. There's Apollyon, Abaddon. These are names for the devil. Old dragon, the old serpent. All of those are ominous. All of those have, the old dragon, you can feel that. Lucifer, you can feel that. But one of the names God gave to the devil is what? Beelzebub. What in the world is Beelzebub? Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Did you know that a fly can kill an elephant? What? How can a tiny fly kill a massive elephant? Here it is. Unhealed wounds. Elephant rips himself on a briar or a limb, and a fly comes. Lights up on the wound, the unhealed wound, infects the wound. One of the names for the devil is Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a fly go, ha! Serpent, yes, but not a fly. And so here's what the Lord has hatched these little white eagles out to do. They're going to snatch up the larva of Beelzebub, those lies that get in your unhealed wounds and infect you and contaminate you to such a dimension, you turn your backs on God. Thank God for these little eagles. They're going to snatch up the eggs, the larva, the hatched out lies of the devil, and take them away before they can penetrate unhealed wounds. Aren't you thankful? Yep, that's right. All right, so listen, second. Now, that was 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Now, this is 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about what time it is. Here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Wow. Isn't that something? For people will be lovers of their own selves, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, and aroused by inordinate, greedy desires for wealth, proud, arrogant, contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemers, scoffers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and profane. Wow. They will be what? Without natural affection. Wow. Wow. What does that encompass? Homosexuality, lesbianism, all it's out without natural affection. Wow. How do you know it's not natural? No two homosexuals can procreate. You understand that? God made us in a way where we can bear children. God don't want seedless fruit. Man created seedless fruit. Every fruit God created, he made seed in there that recreates after its kind. But man genetically altered oranges. Why? Remember? So they could be seedless for our convenience. Wow. Nearly about every time we try to do our own ingenious things, it's anti what God wants. I was sent all the way to Japan once to tell the man behind cloning to get out of it. It's an antichrist spirit. Cloning is rich people trying to recreate themselves. So I went over there. Well, we got to get out of here in a minute. Y'all not in a rush, are you? I got more stories than you could imagine. But here's what I want to tell you. Time is really winding down. I want you to know that. How do you know that? Because of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the disciples came out of the temple with Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 1, and says, look! Look at this! How beautiful, magnificent the temple is! And Jesus basically says to them, boys, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. There'll not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And it embarrassed the boys. So it says when they're out in the olive grove quietly, they came to Jesus Christ and they said, sir, if you would you please tell us when this time will be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And the end and the consummation of this age? I don't know about you. That is two questions I want to know the answer to. What will be the sign of your coming and how will it be right before you appear? And then Jesus starts in Matthew 24 all the way through the chapter telling the answer to those two questions. What time is it and how will it be when this happens? And he says there in verse 32, when you see a fig tree blooming, know that it is near even at the door. Wow. Pastor quoted this while he's talking about his 40 years. This generation shall not pass away till all these things are fulfilled. That's in that Matthew 24 verse. I'm telling you guys, what is the first number one sign we're in the last days? Here it is. Great deception concerning true Christianity. This is Matthew 24. And many false Christs shall arise and deceive many. I am stunned at what people will accept as being from God. There's a guy that comes in. He says that he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, smokes cigars, has intercourse with women, and people flock to him by the tens of thousands. He's not Jesus Christ. What he does through demons. Wow. But people flock. Wow. Bible said if it was possible, the devil would deceive even the very elect. That means those called out chosen ones from God. How do we keep from being deceived? That's a good question. I asked a banker once. I went to see a banker and I asked him, I said, sir, can you tell me and teach me and train me how you train your tellers to detect a counterfeit? He said, oh, Bobby, there is no training for that. He said, the only way that they can really be efficient and proficient at detecting a counterfeit is they're so used to the genuine. They're so used to the genuine that when something fake comes through, something goes off. This don't feel right. This don't even smell right. Don't you want to become so accustomed to the genuine that when something comes by that's false, fake, contrary to the word of God, something off in you goes, that doesn't resonate with my spirit. Do you see what I'm talking about? Well, that's very needful. Well, we got to get out of here because it's time to go. Happy trails to y'all. It's a good thing. One of the times I came here, Kim Clement was up here singing, playing on the piano. It's a good thing, God. If God let me do that, I'd hum a few bars and play, you know, good Lord. I can't play a radio, you know. I get around these guys that can sing. Wow. I was in some church one time. There's a black guy sitting on the front row, and I said, hey, I want you to get up here and sing, but sing opera. I didn't know he was a famous opera singer. Andre, he's doing Christian stuff now. I was out in California. Do you remember America's Got Talent or whatever it was? The guy goes, pants on the ground, walking around like a fool with your pants on. Remember that one? I'm out in California in the California Anaheim Vineyard Church. That thing is packed to the hilt that day. And you know me, I just kind of flow from the hip. And there's a Korean lady out there. And I said, ma'am, stand up. So she stood up. I said to her, I want you to sing pants on the ground, but I want you to sing it in high opera. I like to have fell off the podium. This lady was a famous opera singer and cut loose and sang pants on the ground in high opera. So, yeah. People said, did you? It just works out for me that way. It's the craziest thing. I'm off in a church and there's a little lady sitting out there and I go, hey lady,
stand up. She stood up and I said, I want you to bake me some pies. She said, certainly. Pastor said, do you know her? I said, never seen her before in my whole life. He says she owns a famous pie baking company. So I got pictures of the pies. I'm telling you, listen. Now see, you don't have to get all strung out. God knows who's there. Yeah, I like that. Here's one. You ready? Yes, Bobby. I'm up there preaching, just preaching along. And all of a sudden I go, yes, God is going to bless robotic brain surgery. It'll be more meticulous than a man's hand. Now, you know you can trust a guy like me when we get talking about brain surgery. Yes, God is going to bless robotic brain surgery. It'll be more meticulous than a man's hand. Then I turned back and started preaching. They played that on God TV. Somebody from Asia, somewhere in that part of the country. Here's the thing. Send some people over with a sack of money. I said, what's this for? They said consultation fee. And sent all of the brochures. And he had started a company. He had invested $3 billion in a company. Guess what his logo was? Robotic brain surgery. It will be more meticulous than a man's hand. Is this true? Now, how would you like to have been the man that invested $3 billion in a company and then some redneck goes, yes, God is going to bless robotic brain surgery. It'll be more meticulous than a man's hand. Well, that's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Did you read the Bible? It says Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing what he's going to do to his servants, the prophets. That's what it says. Did you read the Bible? It says, trust the Lord, you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper. The Hebrew word prosper there means live at God's highest pointed level for your life. That's so true. We're indispensable. You have to have us. God won't do anything new on this planet without doing it through the prophets. Can I show you that?
Yes, Bobby.
That's my Morgan Freeman voice. Yeah. Did you like that? Voiceover. I know guys that gets jobs voicing over. Isn't it something? Yes. That's true. Oh, I want to show you a verse. You want to see it? Yes, Bobby. It's Isaiah 48. Are you there? Isaiah 48, verse 6. You've heard these things foretold. Now you see this fulfilled, and will you not bear witness of it? I have shown you specified new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known. They, hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known, they are created now. Called into being by the prophetic word, and not long ago and before today, you have never heard of them, lest you would say, ha, already know that. That's a wild verse. That's a wild verse. Now, I'm reading it out of the old Amplified. I don't like the new Amplified. I like the classic Amplified. Well, I'll read it for you again. You've heard these things foretold. Now you see it fulfilled, and will you not bear witness to it? I have shown you specified new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known. They are created now, called into being by the prophetic word, and not long ago and before today, you have never heard of them, unless you say, ha, behold, I already knew them. Wow. Remember, last night I talked to you having eyes to see, ears to hear. We need to be positioned to hear God's new thing, to move with him. I was sitting there, I said, is there a verse you want to give him? He said, yeah, give him Deuteronomy 32:13. God caused him to siphon honey from the rock and oil from the flinty stone. You say, what does that mean? It means some of the hardest situations you face will put out the sweetest nectar of God. Some of the hardest situations you face will put out the sweetest nectar of God. That's Deuteronomy. I like verses nobody ever preaches out of. That's a good one, isn't it? Deuteronomy. Yeah. Yes. Bob Jones. She said she sees a wheat there, and she wants me to tell you a story. When Bob Jones passed, went to heaven, I told my wife, I said, he's going to come visit me. That's true. So anyway, he went on February the 14th. Well, on March the 27th, he came to see me in a trance. I'm in a trance more real than me standing here at this pulpit. And I'm typing on a book in my study. The Holy Spirit said to me, you have a visitor coming. So I get up in this trance, push my chair to the side, start to open my study door. He said, nope, he's coming through the window. So I turned and looked out my window there, and there's pearl staircases coming out of heaven, just like this, on a slant like this. And they're pearl
and they're rotating like this, and Bob Jones is riding down this escalator out of heaven. Had the most beautiful robe on you've ever seen in your life. It came almost about this high above his ankles, and it was living material. It was like light and moving, and he looked like $1 million. And I'm thinking, should I raise a window? What am I going to do? He popped into my office right there like this. Looked like $1 million. His skin is taut as it could be. And he gets this close to me and he looks me over just like that. Looked all the way through me. He said, "You're doing fine." And he popped himself in the chest. He said, "And I'm doing wonderful." And then we could talk and not talk and still communicate, or we could verbalize and talk. So we sat down on the sofa and Bob said to me, "Have you noticed your hair?" I said, "No, I hadn't." He said, "Run your hands through it." And I did like that. And he said, "Do it again." I did like that. And I felt something in it. And I did it like that. And I had straw in it, wheat straws like this. And in a moment, we have two big handfuls of wheat, like staffs of wheat. My hands are full and Bob's hands are full of it. And Bob looked at me and said, "This all about the harvest." He said, "It's all about the harvest." He said, "This time, the prophetic will be used with evangelists to tell them which fields are ripe and ready so they won't waste their energies and their resources in fields that are not ripe." So the prophets are going to help guide the evangelists to the fields that are ripe for reaping. Do you believe that? I do. I do. Won't it be something when the church functions together with the fivefold? You've seen the fivefold, haven't you? You can do it with your hand. This one represents the prophetic because it's always pointing. This one represents evangelists. It's the first one to touch. This one represents the pastor, the covenant. This one represents the teacher. If I had a whole handful of wheat and didn't have the teacher there, what would happen to all the wheat? Fall on the floor, wouldn't it? Okay, so this one guides. This one gathers. This one guards. This one grounds. This one teaches. And this one governs. This is the apostolic because it can touch the other four. You see what I'm talking about? So we need the functioning fivefold. You believe it? That's true. That's what we got to have. It's pretty sad if you look at it. Guess how many times the word pastor is used in the New Testament? One. Yeah. Now that didn't minimize. Listen, we need the functioning fivefold. Now here is, it's hard. It's really hard to get the prophet and the teacher working together. It really is. Because the prophet goes, "Let's take the city." The teacher says, "We're going to need buses. We're going to need tents." But you see, understand that? One's operating one gift, one's operating the other. But if we get them working together instead of fighting, it'll work out real well. That's right. All right. And then one of the things that happened is the apostolic got all out of balance. "Who's under you, brother?" You better flip that pyramid or turn it over. The real apostolic is under the whole church, lifting them up to the Lord, not hovering over them like a pyramid. So that's true. That's we got to get out of here. It's late. But anyway, Sue, so, you know what? God is doting over you. I'm serious now. Listen, I'm telling you, I see you with a knitting needle, and you're knitting things together. I'm talking about the spirit realm. You're going to knit something together that's going to cover a whole bunch of people. I'm serious. My aunt used to knit, what'd you call them? Afghans or something. Oh, Lord. She had an old dog named Chino, so old, had one tooth. But that thing thought it was a Doberman pincer. Old Chino. Laid up beside Annie while she was knitting. But you're going to knit together. And it's going to be a covering. It's going to be really, really something. You're going to find these days will be some of the most useful days in your whole life. You'll feel more completed. You'll feel like you finished a task. But you're going to knit together something. And it's going to be wonderful. And it's not going to be mundane. You're going to have the time of your life. And you're going to join things together that will end up beautiful in a covering for the bride of Christ. So that'll be wonderful. I like that. Well, we got to get out of here. I'm telling you. Well, some of you think, well, will I ever get married? Do you want to? I saw dust one time running out in the desert. I said, "God, what is that?" and there were sand dunes everywhere. He said, stand up and tiptoe. So I stood up and tiptoed, and I saw camels running that way, herds of camels running that way. I said, Lord, what do you, he said, what do you say? I said, camels running that way. He said, yep, I want you to go back to church, and I want you to announce the time of loneliness is over. I said, God, how can you tell me to tell the church the time of loneliness is over because camels are running that way? He said, because I'm releasing Eleazar's camels. Remember when they went to get a bride for Isaac? They sent Eleazar with camels loaded down. And I'm here to tell you, God's going to start joining mates together. There's too many un-unioned people in the body of Christ. And God's going to start bringing. Remember it says what? God has what? Joined together, let nobody pull asunder. So the camels are loose. And they're going to bring an end to loneliness. Because a lot of people in here, they can't hardly focus on God because they're wondering, will I ever be married? First of all, marry Jesus. And he'll pick out the right one. Well, I don't know about that, brother. You know, I've just been so lonely so long. I just guess it'll be that way. Yeah. There's a verse in the Bible that says, make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is and he'll get it for you. Good Lord. If that came out in somebody, self-help book, I'd say that guy is a fraud. But that verse came out of the Bible. Make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is, and he'll get it for you. It's in Job 22:28. You shall decide a thing, then you decree what you've decided, and the Lord will establish it, and the light of his favor will shine upon your pathway. That's what it says. Well, we got to go. I like this girl. You know you'll be a dancer, don't you? I do too. That'll be good. Well, it's kind of... I like it here. I feel perfectly at home. Yeah. I like the kid back here. You look like from Asia of some sort. You were down here standing in front of me. And God said, I'm going to release to him a nugget of favor. You're going to figure out something other people have not been able to get their mind around. Yeah, you with the glasses on. What's your name? What? Tom? I'm telling you, he's going to give you a nugget of favor that you'll be able to figure out some things others hadn't been able, and it'll escalate you into a promotion. Okay? So that'll be good. You'll get James 1:5. If any one of us need wisdom, let him ask God. You give it to us lavishly. Won't look down on us for asking. I like this guy. I told him that last night. I like this hair. What's your name? Christian? Yeah, live up to your name, man. That'll be good. I was off down in Miami. I never seen such wild hairdos in my whole life. Most of them were, I guess, Cuban. Whoo! They had the best looking hair, shiny, raven black hair, and it's a wild church called Velocity or something like that in Miami, Florida. Good Lord. And a lot of the guys had man buns. So it hit me. I always want to do new stuff. So I said, why don't you rotate it to the front? See, that'd be, you know, wouldn't that look cool? Rotate the man bun from the back to the front. It'd be sort of like that Psalms 92:10. My horn has been exalted like the horn of a unicorn. That's a verse in the Bible. Yeah, but that was pretty good. What do you do with yourself? Tell me about it. What do you do with yourself? You got any occupations? Or you?
I've been tinkering with some things, trying to maybe start businesses.
Start businesses and stuff like that? There's a real creativity inside of you. You believe that? Yes, it is. It's really, really creativity. I like creativity. I know a woman in the fashion business, and you know I'm a fashion expert. I said to her, I got a word from God for you. And she said, what is it? I said, I want you to start creating a fashion design that centers around denim and lace. Denim and lace. So she's doing that. You can't believe the doors that have swung open for her. Denim and lace. So a guy like me knows about fashion. Yeah. You know, if you're going to take advice, denim and lace. But that's what's happening. Yeah, that's good. I'm about this far off of you and closing the gap. Good. Remember, he said, turn you every way but what? Loose. Good. Good. That's right. He already has branded you. You know that, don't you? He's put his mark on you. But that's good. And you're going to find out the days ahead are going to be much more fruitful than the days behind. I like that. Look at that. Like that girl there, she's a real sweet girl. I'm serious about that. Got a real sweet, big, bad.
audacious heart. He goes, oh, no, I hope you don't say anything. It's okay. How are you doing? That's good. You're doing better than you think. Okay? You're doing better than you think. If you look at yourself from God's perspective says we're seated in heavenly places. How you doing? What's your name? That's my name. Yeah. They asked me if I'd pray for you. I said, I will. Yeah. Robert's a good name. Yeah. Talks about illustrious. Illustrious. Yeah. Shiny. That's good. What's wrong with you? Fractured hip. I am telling you, we watch God heal bones just like that. Totally bone shattered with pins in them, rods in them, just like that healed. Football player up there in Fairfield, a little girl up in Rochester, New York. And I'm telling you, over and over and over, sometimes the pins, plates, and all that disappeared just like that. Got x-rays of them in there, x-rays with them out. So if God healed a girl in Rochester, New York, a football player up in Fairfield, he can heal you. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she said, get it all while you're at it. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I pray for Robert. I pray, Lord, that you'd heal his legs, his feet, his bones, and you'd make them strong, stable, firm. And, Lord, you'd do it in such a way you get the glory. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that he'll walk and not faint. He'll run and not be weary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for recreating and making things strong and fresh in Jesus' name. Good. Robert, I like Robert. Yeah, you're over here against the wall, are you? God bless you. How old are you? 17. That's about 4 years older than Daniel was when they carried him away captive in the Bible. The word Daniel means my God judges well. You ought to study the man Daniel. Here's what it said. He was in a pagan place, but he said, I'm making up my mind. I'm not letting what's wrecking the rest of them affect me. And he ended up and ran the whole country. Daniel, okay? Good. Well, you got a ringside seat, have you? What's your name? What do you want God to do for you, Anita? Have you got anything in your heart? Or what is it you want him to do? Yeah. Remember in the Bible it says, we have not because we ask not. Remember, I just quoted the verse. Make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is, and he'll get it for you. So, you've already told him. There's a great verse that says, if any two of us on earth would agree, wow. God's not much into this secret disciple stuff. He said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I will be ashamed to confess you before my Father. Listen, I don't know how, have you ever, I hope y'all hadn't gone to the doctor lately. I mean, they'll strip you off and put something on, don't half cover you up. Wing you off down there for some kind of x-ray, you go, oh Lord, you know. But then you come to church and you're timid. I mean, you go to the doctor, you'll open your mouth, they'll stick a stick in there, you'll, eh! They'll poke you, probe you. Are they trying to embarrass you? No. They're trying to diagnose and see what the problem is. But see, one of the most dangerous places in church to expose your problem is the church to expose your problem sometimes. Well, I figured.